Fresh face for you, a fresh sound for you today. It's Carter Arrington in the house. He just completed his first True Fire project, and we are most thrilled to welcome him to the family. Let me tell you a little bit about him real quickly. He's based out of Austin, Texas, and London. He's a very studied musician. He is a passionate educator. You'll discover that shortly. And he's worked with Arthur Brown, Prager, Eric Johnson, Bernard Purdy, Fred Wesley, David Grissom, Colonel Bruce Hampton, Kirk Covington. He even got to perform for James Brown's Funky Christmas for his family. With the legends Bernard Purdy and James' longstanding trombonist, Fred Wesley. I love this quote. I love this quote because I love Arthur Brown, whose quote this is. Carter Arrington, string strummer extraordinaire, exquisite conjurer of sound, seeker of the original note. What a joy to play with this master of his instrument. Technically brilliant, melodically inventive, at home with heavy rhythms as well as delicate cascades of fragrant notes. I love that. He goes on to say, what a pleasure to spend time with this kind, brilliant human being, reliable, conscientious, a great team player, already respected and sought after among the cream of players in the world capital of music, Austin, Texas. What more do you want in a musician who happens to play the guitar? That's Arthur Brown, who also described his style as tone-twisting electromorph. Anyway, Let's shout out to Carter. We'll duck down the track. Hey, man.
What's going on?
Welcome to True Fire.
Thank you for having me, man.
This is your first one here.
It's been a fun couple of days.
The first day is always a little freaky, isn't it?
You know, dude, I was stressed. Big time.
I know. Yeah. But you relaxed right away, right? That's really, you know, par for the course. It is a little, you know, number one, it's a new thing. Number one, to come into the studio, you got all the Hollywood lighting, robotic cameras, this, that, and the other thing, can be, you know, sometimes a little daunting and intimidating. But
yeah.
Tommy, who's our, you know, head of production here and who produced the course with you, I hope he puts you at ease pretty quickly.
Man, Tommy's my hero. He made this so easy. And yeah, it's kind of the nature of doing anything new. It's like anytime I get freaked out, and this just totally applies for guitar or music or anything, it's like you get freaked out, you do it, it doesn't kill you, and I'm like, okay, I need to do it 9 more times.
Yeah, it's like that. What, you know, like, man, you know, going on stage, you know, even professionals who've been doing, you know, something for, you know, 40, 50 years, still get those butterflies in their stomach, you know?
Did I tell you that Ozzy Osbourne story?
No, go ahead.
I think we talked about this. So, like, Henry Rollins' last talking show record that he put out, there's this story where Rollins' band gets called to open for Ozzy.
Yeah.
And he goes to the venue. He's cruising around and navigates all the stuff backstage. And he gets to Ozzy's room, and Ozzy's pacing back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, like, oh, Henry, you know, hi, how you doing? And he's like, Ozzy, what's wrong? And he's like, man, I'm nervous. He's like, you're nervous? It's impossible. He's like, what's the problem? And then Ozzy says to him, this blew my mind. It was just like, he's like, man, I'm afraid that nobody's going to show up.
Oh, my God.
And this is like, and then Henry's like, man, you haven't not sold out a concert since 1970. That's
crazy.
Statistically impossible. But the guy still deals with it.
Yeah.
It's still
I think everybody deals with it. You know, I mean, just judging from, you know, the experiences, we've been privileged to be backstage with many of our artists. We see them get a little bit nervous before going on stage.
Sure.
But even coming in here, you know, guys that have been on the biggest stages in the world, they come in and they're just a little shaky until they get kind of comfortable in their groove, which you very much did, and you did it very quickly. And man, we're thrilled with this new project, and I think True Fire students will flip out. You're calling it? What did
I'm
we call
calling
it?
This tactical improv.
And describe it a little bit.
Essentially, these are essentially all the concepts, or most of the concepts and ways that I would practice working on my improvisation. Mm-hmm. I mean, really over the last 10 years and stuff. Some of it I got from a teacher here and there. Some of it I kind of picked up through school. Some of it I picked up through experience. Mm-hmm. And basically having to improvise in a lot of different kinds of styles. Mm-hmm. These were some of the elements that I noticed would just kind of dilute through all of them and be applicable to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of it's kind of fundamental, but in my experience, like the longer I play, like the more I focus on some elements that are simpler, it raises every element of my playing up. Like, you know, if I work on rhythm, if I sit there and work on time instead of like suicide licks or things that are crazy, if I sit there and work on my time, everything I play is better.
Yeah.
Instead of like, ah, I've got this one cool thing that I can do in this 1% of situations.
And so, you know, what you just said is why we love this curriculum so much. You know, it's really there's great vocabulary here. Of course, everything's going to be transcribed, notated, tabbed, synced to the video, all that good stuff. So there's plenty of great lines to pick up, learn the entire solos, but you really provide, you know, meaningful pathways for any player to kind of upgrade their improvisational skills, whatever style they're playing. And you cover a lot of styles here, from blues to gospel, funk, you know, R&B. Any one of the concepts can be applied to any style.
Absolutely.
You know? Let's give them an example of the format. So there are 10 concepts. There are 10 tracks, right? All of the tracks, different kind of feel and style, right? And you'll present a concept, and then you'll do kind of a trading back and forth, like a play along, right?
Yeah, just a chance to kind of, you know, for whoever's watching it to kind of, you know, get their hands on it a little bit. We'll kind of trade ideas or trade four
then
bars
you'll
or trade courses.
Do a performance, and boom, go on to the next concept and the next style, right?
Exactly.
Let's show folks one of the, let's work with blues, for example.
Okay.
Okay. So the concept is playing blues changes.
Yeah, the concept in that section was comparing, blanketing a scale or blanketing an idea. So when a lot of people play blues, they just use a minor pentatonic scale on the one chord. And in that section, I kind of got into saying like, hey, here's what chord tones sound like. If you want to kind of outline the chords a little more strategically, here's some other shapes or some other scales that you can use. And then to kind of go back and forth, you know, we would loop a chorus and I'd take a chorus focusing on something, then I'd leave the space for them to
So let's demonstrate that. Guys, if you have a guitar hand, pick it up, and we're going to show you what one of these little kind of practice play-alongs, you know, sound and look like. Tommy, you want to... By the way, we have a new camera in the control room. Tommy, let's see you. Switch over to that.
Hey, hey, everybody. Here we are at your fire control room.
We've been dying to get a camera in there so you can kind of get a bird's eye view for what's happening there. That's Tommy. That's Frank in the background. Is Seth in there or is he hiding?
Seth is in here, but he definitely is hiding at the moment.
Okay, we'll get him to come out
at some point.
Do a peek. So roll that blues track and let's demonstrate one of the kind of play-along features of this course.
Okay. So I'll start and just use A flat minor pentatonic for everything. Now it's your turn. Three and four. Now I'm going to use A flat major pentatonic on the one chord. A flat minor pentatonic. E flat major. Your turn. A flat minor, A flat major pentatonic, E flat major, back to A flat major. Now I'm going to use dominant seventh arpeggios on everything. E flat. Straight fours. So now it's your chorus, my bad.
Okay, so just to be clear, pretty much I think 9 out of 10 of these has this type of a, let's call it a practice play along. So
correct.
Carter will describe the improvisational concept. He'll then roll the track and do exactly that. He'll call out what he's doing and then give you some space to take what he's doing and do it yourself. So you're kind of, you know, learning it and then applying it immediately. And then after you've done the practice play along track, you'll do a full performance, right?
Correct.
Let's do that on the blues.
All right.
There's that performance after the practice session, mm-hmm. and then a full breakdown where you'll step people through it. So,
correct.
Ample instruction and ample opportunity to imply that key concept to a track.
Correct.
You know, if this doesn't elevate your improvisational skills, I don't know what will. Okay. And like I said, I've been listening, like, Carter's got this bubble part thing. That just show him what I mean by the bubble part.
I love that stuff, man. It's yeah. So it's kind of like if you had one rhythm guitarist that was kind of going, the bubble guy would be like,
which dates back to, we were talking about this in the control room. Dates back to.
I mean, you know, you heard it in old R&B. I was born in 82, so yeah. I discovered it in, like, I think it was Michael Jackson's Thriller, man.
Yeah.
When I heard that.
But it went back before that,
oh,
man.
Big time.
The early soul and funk bands had that thing going on. And Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Totally.
Commodores.
James Brown, all that stuff. Like
Killer.
Mother Popcorn and all those kinds of things. Yeah.
So you get, you know, everything is transcribed. You can cherry pick your favorite licks, and that's what I'm going to do for mm-hmm. sure, as well as apply a lot of these principles. A little bit of housekeeping really, really quickly.
Go for it.
Okay. First, some shout outs. Slovenia, welcome to this True Fire Live broadcast. You got fans all over the world, man. Calgary, Auburn, Washington, Dallas, Mexico,
Madness.
Norfolk, England, Chandler, Arizona, France. I can't pronounce actually the town it was from, but thank you. Northumberland, England, Bosnia, Chicago, Boston,
what?
Netherlands,
oh,
New Hampshire, Port Lavaca, Texas.
Okay.
And Elgin, Illinois. If we haven't shouted out to you, just tell us where you're tuned in from, and we're happy to say hey to you. Also, underneath the video, is the link. Carter Live is your promo code. You can take 25%. There's a link there. You can go and pre-order this course, Tactical Improvisation. Save 25%. Tommy, when do you think this will be out? Switch to the control room.
I'd say we'll have this out within the next, 60 days. I mean, it's a great course, and the thing with Carter is normally first timers, as you know, Brad, we'll have them come in usually and do 2 days in the studio, and in those 2 days we'll knock out a course. We don't want to keep it, we don't want it to be too tight, too pressured. So, but Carter has to get on a plane here in he's got to get in the car in an hour. We knocked out probably over four and a half hours of content, in basically one day. So, I mean, it's a great course, and you did a great job.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, it is. You really did do a great job, man. And it's very beefy, like Tommy just said, 4 hours or so. But we're doing something we haven't done before, which are those practice session play-alongs where you're shouting out what you're doing, demonstrating what you're doing, and then giving us a chance to immediately jump into that, which is a great prep workout for taking on the track and the full solo.
Yeah, it's a big part of these concepts too. It's unless you can kind of get your hands on it and feel it out, to try it out and see how it feels to you. Yeah. It's hard to get a hold of otherwise, and just to have something to kind of work with or somebody to kind of guide you through it, which is definitely something I do with people one-on-one.
It's killer, man. Yeah. So, and in fact, let's do this. If you're chimed into the live chat, tell us what you think about that approach. It's brand new. It's very, very cool. We love it. What do you guys think? The other bit of housekeeping is there's a trivia question. Do not answer this trivia question in the chat feed because you'll give away the answer. But if you answer it correctly, you're entered in a drawing. We'll pick randomly one correct answer person and give you a $100 True Fire gift card. Good as gold here on True Fire. So under the video, you'll see the trivia question. At which university did Carter get his jazz performance Bachelor of Music degree? And how does a guy get a Bachelor of Music Jazz Performance degree that plays blues as cool as that? Or wait till you hear the other styles, okay? And while you're under, look at this. We have a new kind of scrolling. The guys, Tommy, let's switch to the control room again. These guys have been busy in there. We've got scrolling text, lower thirds. We've got a control room camera. It's a happening thing. The only thing we're missing is Seth. Seth is hiding out of camera view.
Seth's got to get in there. Here he comes.
Here he comes.
There he is.
Come on, Seth. Okay, here comes the camera.
Little Kaboom. Focus difficulty, but it's working.
All right, there he is. These are the guys that, work their you-know-what's off producing these courses with these top-caliber artists every day of the week. And they do an amazing job. And they don't get a chance to interact much with the outside world. So we've got a camera in there now. There they are. Those are the guys that do all this stuff. Hey, while you're underneath the video, do you see that little thumbs up thing? It's really important. It's a great way to kind of show your appreciation, show your love, and help Carter spread the love, not only for his course, but for, everything that he does in the music biz. Let's move over to gospel, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. In this one, just give us the concept is double stops, right? Mm-hmm. And what an important improvisational tool there. Give us a quick lesson, and then let's just go right to the performance.
Cool. So when I think about double stops, I'm not necessarily thinking about it in the traditional way that we might in blues or in country, which is usually kind of where you associate those terms. I'm kind of grouping that into saying anything more than improvising with single notes. So that could be octaves, thirds, fourths, fifths, sixths, any kind of interval or any other kind of combination. So, for example, we're all probably kind of familiar with octaves. Sound kind of like that. Thirds is something that I tend to use a lot. Fourths. fifths, like George Benson likes to use.
Nice.
I always like that. Sixths kind of have this kind of sound. Sevenths are actually one of my favorites. It's kind of jazzy, but
yeah,
it's I don't know, it puts you in a different space.
It does.
Sometimes it can be as simple as this thing I think I call it dovetailing. I need to find another name for it. But it's like you're playing stuff on adjacent strings. It's kind of Bill Frisell-ish, you know, but it allows you to just get a little bit more harmony out of your playing. And it can really save you in a trio when you don't have any other harmonic support. And obviously chords, you know, you could group that in there as well. But it's kind of
Carter, as you can tell, you know, we're giving you just short little snippets, but he dives deep into all of these concepts. And you can tell that he goes into double stops much wider and deeper than you would think. Now, let's skip the practice session since they have enough, and let's go right into the performance to show them where they're going to wind up.
All right.
A great illustration of what we just said, which is it's not what most of us think of when someone says double stops. It's very chordal, almost sounds chord melody-ish.
Ish,
you know?
Yeah.
And a great way to spice up any improvisation or even rhythm part as a fill.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay, so remember, though, that we skipped the practice session. A lot of people in the chat are kind of raising their hands and saying they love that practice session concept.
Sure.
Let's move on to some funky stuff.
Okay.
But this time, and I think you focus on triads for this one. Is it triads?
This one was kind of about thinking about 16th notes.
16th notes. Yeah. Sorry, that my bad. So give us a short lesson on 16th notes.
Okay.
And then let's do a practice session with this before the performance. Okay.
Sounds good. So 16th notes, if you have a tempo, say like this, basically means that there's going to be four notes crammed in between each one of these clicks. And the first thing you got to do is kind of learn how to count them. So it's 1E and 2E and 3E and 4E and taka 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 taka. And essentially each part, each one of those 16th notes, kind of where it's placed, it feels different. And so if I'm kind of just sitting here keeping time and just to go through all four different parts of the beat, you know, you can start with the downbeats and I'll just kind of count. So 1, 2, 3E and 4E and 1E and 2E and 3E and 4E and if I go to the E's, which is the next 16th, 1E, 2E, 3E, 4E, 1E, 2E, 3E, 4E, and the ands, 2, 3, 4, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and finally the us. This is kind of the hardest one to grab. 1 E-N, a 2 E-N, a 3 E-N, a 4 E-N, a 1 E-N, a 2 E-N, a 3 E-N, a 4 E-N. If you're aware that all those parts of the beat are different, if you take one bar of music, which is usually in 4-4, that's going to be four different beats. That means that you can take one single idea, whether it's a note or a phrase or anything, and that means you have 16 different places that you can put it. And all of them are going to feel different. They might not all work with what you're going for, but that's kind of the landscape. And whenever I'm playing over things that are funky or at certain tempos, I'm thinking about 16th notes a lot, because that's kind of how I place things. And I'm a pretty rhythmic player. I was really into guys like Wayne Krantz and people that just had really strong rhythmic ideas. So I absorbed what I could, but I'm always thinking about this kind of stuff.
Okay. Let's roll the track and do the practice session.
Okay. All right. So let's say I start with this. I'm going to take a small idea, and I'm just going to put it on the downbeat. Now, I'm going to shift that over to beat two instead of beat one. So we go one, two, one, two, three, four, one. 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 Now beat three. One, two, one, two. Okay, so now I want you to try the same thing. I want you to just try a small idea, just a couple of notes, and I'm going to give you about 16 bars, but I want you to see if you can just be aware of how you can change the placement a little bit. And then we'll go back and forth and just kind of jam over this a bit. Here we go. One, two, ready, go. Do with this, let's just try and solo with two notes. Okay, I'm gonna take E right here on the A string and D, and this is the only register I'm gonna use. But just try and get as much mileage out of that as you can. One, two, three, four. So on and so forth.
So practice session. Tommy, how long are the practice sessions? I know I'm cutting them very short, right?
You know, each of the practice sessions, I would say, run about 2 to 5 minutes. I mean, some are longer, some are shorter.
And, you know, the best way to work with a practice session is just, you know, use the True Fire controls and just loop it. You know, you can loop a section of it. You can loop the entire thing and just keep working on each of the kind of... What Carter's doing is breaking down the application, the concept, into little bite-sized chunks, you know. So work on one little chunk at a time and just loop that around until you get that thing. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do a performance. So go ahead and roll, and let's see what you've got for us there, Carter.
All right. I'm going to go to bed.
Man.
It's a very 16th note bass. I'm always thinking about 16th
notes. A beautiful, you know, lesson set. So we've done reggae. You played a little reggae coming in. Then we did a blues thing. Then we did a gospel thing. Then we just did a, you know, a nice funky thing. Each style has its own concept, right? But, you know, what we've noticed, kind of our point of view as artists come in, you know, Carter is amongst... what we refer to as the young masters. They're kind of leading the charge towards, you know, a new music landscape where there's really not separations between genres. You know, everything's getting morphed together. Very common at whatever jam you go to, you, probably a little blues, a little rock, maybe a little bit of a jazzy thing. And, you know, it's so cool to see that. What's also cool to see that, and you'll hear that, you know, across many of the young masters that are coming in here, is that there's, you know, the information can be applied to any style,
absolutely,
right? It's just a little bit of, you know, the embellishments or maybe the inflection of what you're doing to fit that style, right? But this course is a great, let's call it, door into, you know, what we're seeing happening out there, you know, on the stage, in jam bands, local jams, on the gig, you know. No one's playing just a blues gig anymore, for the most part,
it's,
you know.
I mean, unless you're really good at it.
Yeah, unless yeah, you're really, really good at it.
There's definitely some out there, but...
I know you've got to catch a flight, so I'm racing through this,
good,
and I wish we could spend a couple of hours, but let's show them some jazz changes.
Okay.
Okay.
Sevens. So hope for sevens. Sevens. So yeah, if we're going to do the burner, this segment was about navigating chord changes of the same type.
Mm-hmm.
So the exact parallel chord changes, we could think of them as. Because most musical situations, you can kind of get away with blanketing one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, ah, okay, I know the major scale. And you can it can just kind of sail over 4/8 chords.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can kind of just hear your way through it. With these chords, you totally can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have to change when the chord changes.
Kay.
And so... what I try and do in the lesson is just lightly kind of get us to start putting our toes in the water of saying, hey, we're over this chord and we're using this kind of shape and we have to get used to shifting it somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the, if you're trying to play any chord change, that's kind of where stuff gets a little dicey. It's not so much having to play over a lot of different chord changes. It's finding the moment to bridge one chord to the other. And yeah.
Give us that skip the practice session.
Okay.
Just because I want to get to R&B for sure
yeah.
and talk
no
about
problem.
The guitar and stuff.
Gotcha.
But show us the performance. So
okay.
This lesson series leads to this place right here. Mm-hmm. So we've covered reggae, blues, gospel, funky, some jazz, a little bit of housekeeping. We have some more shout-outs for you. You've got fans from Fort Lauderdale, South Texas, Bilbao, Spain, Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
What? Oh, man.
Austin, Texas. Actually, that's one of your students, Jackson.
Oh, right on. That's kind of
actually, you got a few of your
thanks,
students
Jackson.
On here. Roswell, New Mexico.
All right. Aliens.
I don't know if that's human or alien, but it's from Roswell.
So it's hope alien. Yeah.
Tennessee, Melbourne, Australia, Sao Paulo, Brazil. And yes, if you post some questions. Again, we're a little tight on time today, but we'll try to fire the questions to Carter and have him answer them. Don't forget about that promo code. It's good for next 48 hours. Take 25% off the pre-order of this course, Tactical Improvisation. And the trivia question, one more chance to get into that drawing. Click the link underneath the video. Answer that question. Which question is, at which university did Carter get his jazz performance Bachelor of Music degree? And as you can, as you just saw and heard, apparently he well-deserved jazz performance
barely
degree.
Barely graduated.
And listen, while you're over there, you click that thumbs up. Come on, give him some love. He will appreciate it. We will appreciate it. And you'll feel much better after doing so. Okay. R&B, man.
Okay.
One of my favorite genres. And on this one, can we squeeze in a short practice session, Tommy? Would that be okay?
Yeah, I can. Carter, I can pull up the loop that we made for this.
Yeah. Let's do the short one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Everyone is really digging that feature of this
cool.
course.
Absolutely. Good.
Along with us. So let's just show that here. And on this one, it's again on chord changes, right?
It's again on chord changes. And, you're basically going to have two bars on each chord, but none of the chords are really related to each other in the same key.
Okay.
Once again, you can't really get away with the blanket thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of focus on trying to take one harmonic idea through 12 keys.
Very nice.
And, that kind of helps you lay everything out on the fretboard. But in the practice session, kind of what I do, we take the first two chords of this progression, which is going to be kind of... this is the tempo, I think. This is G minor 7 to A flat major 7. Yeah, there's the tempo. So yeah, and we just start with an arpeggio that'll is just showing us one way to kind of navigate our way through it, and I kind of bridge them together. I give you space to do the same thing. Let's just do it.
Cool.
I'll show it to you. Okay. So wait for it to come back around. Here's on the A flat. So. Then G minor. All right, so let's say we're starting right here. One, two, I'll go first, just the arpeggio. A flat major 7. Your turn. Same thing. Feel free to mix the notes up. You don't just have to run straight up and down each shape. My turn. Or just start improvising with it, still using the same shape. Your turn. Thank you. get into trading, you know, just actually playing kind of back and forth and getting, you know, getting away.
You're playing over those changes, you know, and, you know, most of us players, that's where we really start to struggle, is playing over changes out of the key or out of, you know, the pentatonic box.
Absolutely.
Or, you know,
yeah.
This lesson set is a great way to kind of, you know, jumpstart that skill, a very, very important skill, especially with that practice session. You did a great job on that.
Thank you, man.
I think that one lesson's worth the price of admission alone. Let's roll the track. Have you perform the solo over
okay.
it?
Okay, great, man.
And then we'll talk about gear and some answer some questions. Cut your solo short, but we know the car's waiting,
good,
and
man.
The airplane certainly isn't going to wait for you. A couple of quick questions. Well, first, shout outs to more of your fans from New York City, San Pedro, California, Atlanta, Ontario, Imola, Italy, Bologna, Italy, Russia, Cape Town, South Africa. Isn't it crazy, man?
I thought I knew like four people.
No. Okay, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best for a more Castlevania-style solo? Minor seconds or harmonic minors?
Ooh, harmonic minor.
Minor?
Just because that's where most of the kind of...
Okay.
You know, it just kind of has... That's kind of where those chords are coming from.
Harmonic minors,
yeah,
it is.
I would say harmonic minor. Yeah.
Next question. Name three of your influences, artists have really influenced you.
I would say lately, like if I had to answer that question currently, a huge one for just style and feel in general. Also, all three of these people are, like, I tried to emulate them and failed miserably, but I grabbed like 10 or 15% of their playing.
That's arguable,
yeah,
I think.
But one was Greg Howe. Greg Howe was a guy that he just had so much style.
Oh my
and
God.
He was so funky, and he could shred. So he just had a different thing going on than anybody else. Wayne Krantz for rhythm was just huge. He's I'm still such a fan. Every time I get to see him is great. Scott Henderson's amazing for phrasing, and you know, there's few people I've seen live that are that scary. And then another one would be George Benson. He's huge. I love David Williams' rhythm playing.
Yeah.
I love Hiram Bullock's playing on that Chaka Khan record we were talking about. There's so many. But yeah, those are
cool.
Kind of
Thank
the
you.
Ones.
How do you schedule practicing to learn, master, and maintain mastery of so many styles? Do you practice separate styles in a single practice session or focus on one style for a solid period of time? That's a good question.
That is a good question. Most of the time, I'm not focusing so much on any particular style, but because, I mean, since I had kids and things like that, I have a lot less time to practice than I used to. One thing that does happen quite a bit is I find ways to practice without an instrument. So, like, I would keep a metronome in the car, and I would be thinking about rhythms and, you know, developing things without an instrument as much as possible. But I would say if you feel like there's a style that you're really trying to get a hold of, I would, you know, like if you really want to get better at Western swing or country, I would say, yeah, probably immerse yourself as much as you can in that vocabulary, and you'll probably have better results that you're looking for. I would probably say whatever is the most direct route to the concept, you know, is probably the best way to go, instead of worrying about applying the concept to 9 different things. Right off the bat, pick one that you feel can be strong and that you're interested in, because that's going to help you, you know, keep putting in work towards it also. But if you nail it in one style, it's a lot easier to apply it to 8 other ones. But if you don't really have it in one, it's going to feel weird. You'll be like a hose on mist if you try and do too much at once. That's what I'm trying
Great
to say.
Great answer, man. When playing over changes in more of a jazz style, are you thinking in terms of chord shapes and arpeggios, or more of a scale per chord or modal approach? What are you thinking when you're
with jazz? And depending on the tempo, I'm usually thinking about arpeggios and chord shapes, mainly because scales can be really bulky when the keys are changing a lot. So, for example, in that in the tune that we did, to where it was kind of moving all those minor chords around all over the place, I don't have a lot of time to go. And the shape is too big. It's not focused enough. So what usually happens if I think about scales too much is my brain kind of flat lines, and then I miss a connection on the fretboard. So arpeggios and chord shapes are a pretty good strategy, actually. So like if I just had a, you know, I'm not thinking about like, oh, okay, that's the D Dorian, or this is, that's too much information for me. So I'll kind of just sit there and be like, okay, that's the arpeggio. And, you know, 4 notes is easier to move around than 7 notes. Or, you know, you can think about triads or intervals. Basically, the smallest, I think about it this way. Using a scale to play chord changes can sometimes feel like you're trying to turn a battleship. And if you use arpeggios or things that are smaller, that's like guerrilla warfare. You know, that's like, you know, they're mobile, and they can, you know, they can kind of sneak in and, you know, surgical strike kind of stuff. So yeah, typically chord shapes and arpeggios.
Great answer, man.
Yeah.
Let's, we are definitely running out of time. We're going to pull a winner for the trivia question. I believe Doug's going to do that and then announce it in the thread. Let's do a quick guitar rundown. There's a lot of questions about your guitar, the pickups.
That's the most common question, you know what we want to hear.
Everything.
So this is a guitar I bought when I was working at Mars Music. I was 18, I think. I played on a Korean Washburn for like 7 years before. So this is the first nice guitar that I ever bought. It's a 2001 American Series Fat Strat. So the pearly gates, which is in the bridge, that was stock when I got it. And this other luthier at the time kind of threw these in. This is a JB Jr. in the neck and a little 59 in the middle. And they're both coil tapped, so you can kind of get some single coil sounds out of them as well. What would happen quite often in Austin, Texas, is you wind up playing so many gigs of so many different styles, and eventually you get kind of lazy. And so you put one guitar in the car, and I tried to make this one guitar do a lot of things. And so that's part of the reason I'm still playing it. I just figured a lot of stuff out on it. But I play tens, D'Addario tens. It's been that way for a long time. Picks, I usually use Dunlop greens, but I've had a yellow the last couple of days. And yeah, man, that's most of it for the guitar.
And when you're out gigging, what kind of pedals do you have on the floor?
Right now, I've got a Durham Electronic Sex Drive Boost. That's kind of the first thing that's going on the board. And my pedal board's in shambles at the moment. After that, there's usually a Boss OC2 Octaver, which is one of my favorite pedals on earth. It's just completely selfish and
really
a lot of fun. Yeah, I love it, man. But that's not on here right now because I had to use a compressor the other day. I've got a wah pedal after that. I'm using an old Buddha wah that I've had for years. The big one that people are usually asking is like, man, what are you using for distortion? What's your distortion story?
Sure.
So all the light gain stuff, I've been using a BB preamp for about 5 years. And then the rig for a long time was the BB preamp and then a Maxon 808. And when I was raging or doing things that were a little more technically demanding to where I needed more cushion, I would use both at the same time. But now I haven't used the Maxon in a while. It's still on the board. I can't bring myself to kick it off yet. But I've got the BB preamp, and I just picked up the Duelist, which is a pretty smoking distortion pedal.
Nice.
After that, I've got a Earthquaker Devices Ghost Echo, which is one of my favorite echo pedals, or reverb pedals, rather. They also make one of my favorite ambient sounds from them. They're such a great company. Is the Levitation. That is like one of the greatest spatial, you know, reverb, nice, you know, big washy kind of crystalline sounds. And that combined with their Space Spiral is one of my favorite recording sounds, those two things together. After that, I've got a Strymon Timeline, which I barely know how to use. I probably have four presets in it, and I've had it for 6 years. And then I can say the same about the Strymon Mobius. Yeah. That's kind of the same deal. I've got about four or five presets. So that's kind of my
Do you run down your gear on your website?
I don't, actually.
You should.
I should.
People love that.
Yeah,
myself included.
I keep forgetting that.
Tell everyone what your website is.
It's carterarrington.com.
Go check it out. It's a really nice website.
Thanks, man.
You've done a great
Thanks.
Job on that.
Thank you.
Tommy, can you run down how you've recorded Carter in session?
Yeah, absolutely. We're using the Fender Princeton and a Royer 121 and a SM57 right on the cab. And then we've also got him going through the aux. So it goes out of the amp into the aux. And we're creating a little bit of a... You know, we use the aux for the cab modeling in there and some of the room sound. So that's a really cool tool that we use on a lot of these sessions. But yeah, man, most of it's in the hands. You know, the guy that's playing the guitar. You know.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the aux. You use that aux a lot, don't you?
We use it all the time.
Actually, and we use the Princeton a lot, don't we?
Yeah, that Princeton's great. We took, this was a Jim Campolongo recommendation. We took the stock Jensen speaker out of it. And we put a vintage G10 vintage in it. And everybody loves that amp.
It feels fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
I didn't even plug into anything else immediately. It's just,
And Tommy, you're using Pro Tools to record audio.
Yeah,
right?
Always. Everything runs in through Pro Tools, multi-track, and we create a nice little blend in here that, you know, that Carter was happy with, and that's pretty much it. It's pretty simple.
Were you happy with the sound we got?
Yeah, man. Felt right at home. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, guys, it's the witching hour. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for all those thumbs ups. It's very generous of you, and you have no idea how helpful that is to, kind of expose more people to Carter, his music, his passion for education. You did a great job here, man.
Thanks a lot for having me, man.
A great job. We were talking earlier. A lot of people ask, where do you find the artists that you work with, And there's like this 6 degrees of separation, you know. Our number one way of connecting with an artist like Carter is through referrals of other artists, of other people in the business. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that are tuned in that are familiar with Carter, but a lot of you are meeting, seeing, and hearing him for the first time. And, you know, thanks to technology and the internet and, you know, being able to do things like that, I think it's such a, you know, an incredible way to connect artists with fans and students. And, you know, it's like a whole new world, man. You couldn't do this. Like, you couldn't even, you know, the technology was there, but 10 years ago, even something like this wouldn't be possible.
It's pretty crazy.
Think about all the time zones, all the countries, all the whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, so guys, the winner is, looks like, is it Greed72 or Griad72? And where did you get your degree? What was the university?
That was at the University of Texas, and they were all very patient with me while I was there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thank you, guys.
Very, very humble, Cat, man. We're really looking forward to having you back. We've already talked about a variety of topics that we can cover and getting you on a fast track here. We're going to get this course. I think we've even announced a launch date. I think I saw June 8th on this, so it's right around the corner. Take advantage of that pre-order promo code. I mean, that's 25% off. Next 48 hours, do it now. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. And you know what? If it's not what you were hoping it would be, you know, we'll we have a noteworthy guarantee. You know, we'll give you your money back. But I'm quite confident you will really, really dig this course, whatever level, whatever style. If you want to improve your improvisational chops, this way to go. Okay, car is waiting, airplane is not waiting, but you must play us out on Meltdown.
All right.
Okay?
Sounds
Let's
good.
Just roll the track. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time. I'm
We're using the Fender Princeton and a Royer 121 and a SM57 right on the cab. And then we've also got him going through the aux. So it goes out of the amp into the aux.